Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So armor up, that's the idea. We want to armor up, make sure that we've got our armor on. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's talking about the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're going to be effective in doing what God's called us to do. I love that because it's telling us that we are guaranteed to succeed as long as we do what the church is supposed to do.
Everybody likes to win, to be a winner. Well, we are already winners when it comes to spiritual warfare because of Jesus. As long as we are in the battle, we are going to be victorious. When we take up the whole armor of God, the enemy cannot touch us. Now, how do we make sure we have our armor on? How are we living? With Ephesians 6, verse 15 in our series Combat Zone, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
You guys can be seated and open up your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to cover verse 15 this morning. Last week we covered a half a verse. Today we get an entire verse. We're in this series on the armor of God, and we're just kind of making our way through the armor. Today we've got the great section, the one that's the most confusing. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've never had anybody ask me, what's the shield of faith? What's the sword of the Spirit? But I've had a lot of people ask me, what does it mean to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Well, I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad you're here today, because that's what we're going to cover. So let's pray. Let's begin. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is profound, and it is life-changing. It is our authority. We are blessed when we hear your word and do what it says, and it is inerrant in the things that it teaches. And so we pray that we would hear your word today, that we would apply it, and we would do the things that we hear. Lord, we also want to thank you for our opportunity to be able to give to the work of the gospel that's taking place here through this church in Tucson. Lord, I pray for those that have given last month and those who are going to give this month. I do pray that you would meet their needs according to your riches. I pray that what Jesus said is true, given it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We know that that is not to encourage our greed, but to encourage our generosity. And I thank you for the generosity of this body. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our study in the book of Ephesians. This is our 24th study overall, and we are now solidly in the armor of God section. And we are learning that everything that we do in this world is connected in one way or another to the spiritual realm. That layered behind the physical, which oftentimes we can think that that's all there is a spiritual realm that works behind it. We know from Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits. The word ministering means servants. They are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that have been given life. So if you've been given life, then you have angels that are ministering to you. That's very powerful as Christians for us to understand, especially when we're talking about the demonic world and that the enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's good for us to know that we've got angels on our side when we have demons that are against us. But the Bible doesn't tell us, make sure you keep your angel close by. The Bible tells us how to overcome the evil day by wearing our armor. Once we get armored up, once we got all of that on, then we're going to stand and not give any place to the devil. The devil is unable to penetrate the armor of God once you get it on. Now, I've had people tell me, I put on the armor of God every day, Pastor Robert. I put on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness. When I get up, I say, I put on my belt of truth. And Lord, I put on the gospel of peace. And I pick up my shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And I always don't know how to respond. And if you do that, if you say that, I'm kind of mocking you. I'm sorry. I was going to say I'm not mocking you, but I am kind of mocking you. That's not what it's about. If you do that as a reminder, that's good. I'm not discouraging you on that. But what I'm saying is these are character issues. If you're a Christian that goes, you know what, I'm a believer, but I'm just going to live my own truth. It's my own truth that I'm interested in, and it doesn't matter to me what you say, Pastor Robert. I'm going to live my own truth. I don't know why I'm talking about you like this, but if that's you, then you don't have the belt of truth on. And so you're exposed now to the enemy. The enemy's going to be able to get in with his lies, and you're now giving a place to the enemy because you're not stalled on the truth as it is, the real truth. And there is objective real truth, and you're not sold on that. So you've got to have that real truth. That's the belt of truth. Righteousness. You got to get right with God. You got to let him forgive your sins. You got to be right with him. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is. There are these characteristics. Once you put all the armor on, you are now protected because these characteristics are in your life. Now, the gospel of peace is our shoes. We put it upon our feet. And it changes us. And we're going to take a look at that. Listen to what Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You can't take it all up and leave one piece off. You're going to be exposed. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the wicked day, the evil day. You may get away with it for a while, but the evil day will arise, and you need to have that armor on. And so armor up, that's the idea. We want to armor up, make sure that we've got our armor on. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's talking about the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're going to be effective in doing what God's called us to do. I love that because it's telling us that we are guaranteed to succeed. As long as we do what the church is supposed to do, as we are presenting the gospel, as we are feeding people in the church, we're going to be effective. The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against us. By the way, the gates of hell are stationary. They don't chase our church around. We don't hide inside and look out and go, oh, the gates of hell are out there again. Oh, man, what am I going to do? No, we put on our feet the gospel of peace, prepared for readiness, and we go out and we march against the gates of hell, and we rescue people from being in those gates, going through those gates. That's what we are called to do, and that's what Jesus meant. As long as we are in the battle, we are going to win. Ephesians 4:27 says, nor give place to the devil. Now, there's a lot of weirdnesses and discernment ministries and a lot of people that talk about that you're oppressed by the devil, you're demonized, and you need to have the devil cast out of you, or you need to be prayed over for 5 or 6 hours to be delivered from this. That is unbiblical as it possibly can be. But the Bible gives us very clear ways in which we fight against the enemy. If you feel oppressed, if you feel like you're demonized, if you feel like you're demon-possessed and you are a believer, remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can't be possessed by a demon. And make sure you got your armor on. Go down the list. Am I genuinely saved? Am I right with God and am I living right? Or do I have harbored sin? Have I got some sinful thing going on I need to get out of my life? Am I living the truth? Am I walking? I'm an ambassador for Christ with my feet shod by the gospel. I'm giving away what this is all about, by the way, now. Do I have my armor on that I can be effective? Now, the title of our message today, we're actually in a series called Combat Zone. The problem is that many Christians live their life as if there's no war. We go around unaware, unarmed, unprotected, unprepared. Today, we want to learn the importance of the gospel of the grace and spiritual warfare. We're going to be looking at the boots of the gospel, which is the title of our message, the boots of peace. Standing firm in the gospel, Ephesians 6, 15. Now, before you start to correct me, I understand that Romans didn't wear boots, okay? I know that. I know they wore sandals and they had extra studs in them and they made them really sturdy so they could go out and fight. But I'm moving it forward to 2025, all right? That's why I got a boot behind me, because we're moving it forward to 2025. So I just saved you, I don't know, 15 minutes writing me an email telling me how wrong I was to go with boots instead of with sandals. Because we need to make sure, to see, today the modern day soldier wears boots. They don't wear flimsy tennis shoes, they wear boots. And they even run in them when they have to run. They're able to run in them when they have to run because they need to have their feet protected. They need to be able to maneuver. They need to be able to be solid when they stand. And so do you and I in the spiritual realm. We will stand in the gospel and we will run with the gospel. And that's really important for us to understand. Now, here's the picture I was talking about with the boot behind me. The gospel of peace, all right? Still, I understand. I'm moving us up into 2025. That picture looks a little futuristic. We're in 2035, maybe there. I don't know. Whatever that is. But it's the gospel of peace. Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I love that it says every creature, not even every person, just in case you think there's somebody that doesn't deserve the gospel. Well, I'm gonna take the gospel to everybody but them. They don't deserve it. No, you take it to every creature. Steve Mays, who used to be the pastor of Calvary Chapel of South Bay, was a friend, a good friend. He was a challenging friend. He was the kind of a friend who would challenge me in my faith and in what I was doing and in pastoring. And when he was a younger man, he really wanted to teach, and there was no openings. He would ask Pastor Chuck if there was any place for him to teach, and Pastor Chuck would just say, be patient. So he would go out to he really wanted to preach, so he'd go out to a turkey ranch. He told this story. I'm going to try to tell it to the best of my memory. He would go out to a turkey ranch or turkey farm. He would back his truck up to the fence. The turkeys thought they were getting fed, and they all came over to where his truck was. He stood in his truck bed, and he preached his messages to turkeys. And then when he would tell the story, he would say, and I'm still preaching to turkeys today. He'd kind of throw out a little insult to the people that he's preaching to. Steve Mays was great, and he had that particular aspect correct. Not that we're supposed to run around and preach to turkeys unless there's some more here to tag on to his little joke. But that no one is left out of it. We preach the gospel to everybody. Now let's get into our study, and we're going to be looking at three things. You're a note taker. Let me give it to you. Number one, we are saved and empowered by the gospel. We're going to be talking about the helmet of salvation in the future. There's some crossover between the gospel of peace and the helmet of salvation, right? Salvation is what you receive. When you are saved, you are born again. You are transformed by God. Your sins are removed. You become a child of God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are given eternity. That's what happens when you're saved. The means by which you are saved is the gospel. When you are saved, those things happen to you. The means by which you are saved is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first thing we're going to look at is saved and empowered by the gospel. The second thing we're going to look at is what is the gospel? Very simple, but we need to understand that. I don't want people leaving today going, I need to shod my feet with the gospel. Well, what exactly is the gospel? I really like gospel music. Is that what it's about? Do I need to start listening to gospel music? No. We'll talk about what that is. And finally, we're going to look at our call to advance the gospel. That if you are a believer and you're here today, you are called to advance the gospel to the people around you. You've been given a sphere of influence, and God expects you to be light and salt in that sphere that you are living in. And being that influence in that sphere, we're going to talk about what exactly that means and how powerful it is when we get there. All right? I almost got into it right there, but let's wait. We'll get into it in a moment. Let's start with saved and empowered by the gospel. Before we do that, I want to consider a story out of 2 Samuel chapter 18. David has been removed from the city of Jerusalem by his son Absalom. It's been a coup, and there's been a battle, and Joab and several other men have killed Absalom. And so the victory is now the Lord's, and they're celebrating, but the king is in another place. They wouldn't let him go to battle. David at this point is older, and Joab was like, no, you can't go out into battle anymore. You stay here. So he called a Cushite to himself, and he said, I want you to run and tell David what you know. So the Cushite took off. Well, there was a man there by the name of Jimenez, and he was the fastest man alive. And Jimenez came up, doesn't say that in the Bible, but I think he was. He came up and said, let me run. And he says, not for you today, my son. You can run on another day. And he goes, no, let me run. And so he tells the Cushite to go. And then Jimenez goes, let me run. And he's like a greyhound. I just got to run. And Joab gets annoyed with him, which I can so see Joab, this big army kind of general leader, getting annoyed with little bitty skinny Jimenez wanting to run, and says, go, fine, go, run. He figures he'll never be able to pass the Cushite. See, Jimenez doesn't know that Absalom's dead. He knows there's been a victory, but he doesn't know that Absalom died. The Cushite was there and saw Absalom die, so he's going to run and tell David what he knows. Well, Jimenez passes him. You can see the Cushite running, and it's going by him and getting there, smiling by he's going by him, and shoom, he goes. And he gets to David, and he says, "The battle is the Lord's," meaning we have won. And David says, "And of the young man, Absalom?" And he goes, "I don't know. I saw a tumult, but I don't know." And David is like, "Stand over there, useless. Stand, he didn't say useless, stand over there. Let's wait for the slow guy to get here." And so the Cushite finally shows up and says, "The battle is the Lord's." And David says, "And the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite says, "He is dead." And David wanders off and cries out, "Oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom, my son." Now, we are like these runners before the time of phones and radios. Now, in the military, you would just communicate. You would just go back to the general. But you needed runners in those days. And we are runners in the army of God. We put on the gospel and we take it wherever we go. We have a purpose. Just as the Cushite had a purpose in running, we have that purpose as well. So Ephesians 6:15 says, "Having shod your feet," that simply is a fancy way of saying putting on shoes, putting on boots, "having shod your feet with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace." The reason the gospel of peace has readiness and preparation in it is because it is transformative to you. When you have the gospel of peace on, and when you do that, you are now empowered by it and you take it with you everywhere that you go. So the readiness and the preparation is that it transforms you, and then you take it out and it transforms other people. We are transforming others. The good news, the gospel, the word gospel, euangelion, means good news. There's bad news before the good news. The bad news is found earlier in Romans and in the not so famous John 1:17 that says, Jesus says, "I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but the world is already condemned." If you don't know Jesus, he doesn't condemn you, but you're already condemned and the wrath of God is on you. And it's called the gospel of peace because you need peace with God. You're at war with God before you invite him into your life and you are born again and begin living for him. And now, because you are now his, you have peace with God, and it's called the gospel of peace because you receive the peace of God. Two things happen when you're born again. You have peace with God and you get the peace of God. And I know what it's like to have the peace of God. What's the peace of God? It's when your life is unraveling. And now you have God's peace and you shouldn't have it. I know what that's like. And I know that you guys do too. You know how I know that? Because when I tell that, when I make that statement that I know what it's like for my life to unravel and to have the odd, weird peace of God in my life, this is what I get from all of you guys. You think you're the only ones doing it, but no, everybody else is doing it too. We're all like, yep, I've had peace when I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have had peace, but I had it. You know what that is? It's your life unraveling, and it's God saying to you, "I got you. Even though this is happening to you now, even though things are out of control, I got you. You're okay. Nothing can separate you from my love, and I'll take care of it, and I'll take care of you. You're going to be okay." That's the strange peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you." The peace of God is different than that. So that's the peace of God. Now, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. As I said, it's the means. Salvation is something different. We'll talk about that when we're talking about the helmet of salvation. But the gospel is the means by which you are saved. When I was 14 years old, I walked into the MYF section, the fellowship hall of our Methodist church that we attended. And the youth pastor asked me if I was going to heaven. I got there a little early that day. He said, "Are you going to heaven?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I believe in God." I'd gone to the Methodist church my entire life. What I had been taught by this particular Methodist church, I don't know anything about any other Methodist church, but this particular Methodist church had taught us that if you believed in the existence of God, then you were saved. That's at least what I took from them. And so I believed in God. I believed he was a giant grandpa in the sky, but I believed in him. I believed that he was there. And so I said, "Yes." And so my youth pastor said, "Well, does Satan believe in God?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Is Satan going to heaven?" I said, "No." And he said, "Then it takes more than just believing in God, doesn't it?" And then he said, "That word believe means to trust in, to rely on, that you give your life to him." He told me I had to be born again, that I needed to be transformed, that Jesus died for my sins, and if I would receive the work that he did upon the cross, I would be saved. What's he doing here? He's giving me the gospel. I received the gospel, I believed the gospel, I stood on the gospel, and I was saved by the gospel. Salvation is something different than what the gospel is. The gospel is the means by which I heard it, by which I got saved. And you have to hear the gospel in order to be saved. How can you believe if you don't hear the gospel? So the gospel's got to be brought out, and we have to carry it out, but we have to receive it. Now, it's the gospel of peace, and I've already talked about that. It empowers us. When we come to Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit. Our sins are forgiven. We are given boldness. We are given peace by the Spirit of God. We are given joy. There's so many things we receive as a born-again believer that we are supposed to walk in. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind." Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, lived in the 1800s, said this: "You stand before God as if you were Christ." That's a pretty tremendous statement. What he means by that is, as I am born again and right with God, I'm standing before him now and he sees Christ. He doesn't look and see Robert Furrow that had all these failures back here. He sees Christ when he looks at me. He sees the forgiveness of Jesus. He sees the righteousness of God. That's what Charles Spurgeon means when he says, "You stand before God as if you were Christ." But he goes on, "Because Christ stood before God as if he were you. Jesus took your pain and penalty so you could stand in righteousness before him. He took on the cross." That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the euangelion. That is that God gives you now eternal life. You will now live forever with him because of the gospel. If you never hear that, you don't know. The gospel is the good news of Christ's appearance, death, and resurrection. That he came to this earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for you in your place. That is the gospel. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 5:1-4. "Moreover, brethren," Paul said, "I declare to you the gospel. I declare to you the good news, which I preach to you." So Paul says, "I preached it to you." We do it at every service. Every service we give an altar call. Every once in a while, someone will come to me and say, "You shouldn't give an altar call at every service." My question is always, why? Where does it say I can't give an altar call in every service? Where does it say I can't preach the gospel in every service? The gospel is involved in the salvation.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.